Thank you to Brian and Gina for this invitation, and I was tasked with talking about postoperative pain, acute and chronic. So my disclosures on a clinical advisory board and a data safety and monitoring board. So does the surgical approach affect postoperative pain? So I think first of all, we need to really put this into context of the fact that pain is very multifactorial. We have acute pain and chronic pain, which are both very different. And as Ben already alluded to, pain after groin hernia repair is probably one of the most important, if not more important than recurrence, as an outcome measure that we need to keep a close eye on. So I think first, before we talk about the technique, we do need to put it into context of what factors other than surgical approach actually affect pain. So the things that have been discussed at length are these four, and I'm just going to go through them just briefly. So first of all, we talk about mesh type, lightweight versus heavyweight, and this is a study that was relatively recent, looking at 1 month, 1 week, and 6 month outcome. And if we talk about chronic pain being somewhere around 2 to 3 months where we make that cutoff, we're both looking at acute as well as chronic pain here. And what was noted is that there's a higher acute and chronic pain rates with heavyweight mesh compared with lightweight mesh. And this is in a multi-center randomized controlled trial. Then if we look at slightly older data, which looks at meta-analyses of lightweight versus heavyweight mesh, again, this is an open inguinal hernia repair, and this definitely favors lightweight mesh in terms of chronic pain. In terms of the laparoscopic meta-analyses, it's a little bit more confusing, and it seems like the heavyweight mesh causes more other symptoms and not necessarily what we would consider as chronic pain. We can also look at absorbable versus non-absorbable mesh in these hernia repairs. It's a little harder to talk about what the true outcomes are, since there's very few randomized studies out there, and so not enough numbers in these studies for us to really get a good feel for if it makes any type of a difference in either acute or in chronic pain. Surgeon expertise is something that is definitely at times a little hard to put a finger on, and as Will has talked about a little bit, definitely somebody who's operating in the learning curve as opposed to once they've well passed the learning curve probably affects many outcome measures, recurrence being one of them. And in looking at randomized studies between expert and non-expert surgeons in terms of these repairs, it seems like both early going on all the way up to 2 years that we have higher chronic pain rates in those who are non-expert. Fixation, you know, we've got glue, we've got absorbable fixation, non-absorbable fixation, and this one here, which is the no fixation whatsoever. There's been many studies that have been published in open as well as laparoscopic data, and this has kind of led us to some guidelines from the International Endo Hernia Society. And level one in terms of guidelines is that fixation and non-fixation in the use of mesh in TEP are equal in terms of postoperative pain or recurrence. I think that's important to look at. This has definitely over the last 5 years or so changed my practice in terms of when I use fixation and when I do not. And then if we look at stapling, and I don't know how many people are using staples anymore in terms of fixation, but it seems like glue causes less chronic pain than stapling. Then there's also some other recommendations in terms of the fact that consider non-fixation in terms of TEP. And this is exactly what I have moved to with my personal experience, is that I only fix in TEP when I have a large direct hernia. And otherwise, I've moved to using no fixation whatsoever. And then the grade B recommendation is that in TAP, you can also consider non-fixation in certain types of hernias. Patient factors are extremely important when we look at acute and chronic pain. And the risk factors for higher rates of pain are age below the median of 40 to 50, is a risk for both acute pain as well as chronic pain, and severe postoperative pain is also a risk factor for chronic pain, as is preoperative pain. So now we get to surgical approach, and we've had these these studies that have been coming out for many years, which have been looking at open versus laparoscopic repair. A recent one, which was from Sweden, had a very large number of patients. This was a questionnaire that was administered with a 75% return rate, and this is over 22,000 patients. And the first interesting thing is that 15.2% of patient-reported outcomes was of pain at 1 year. And I'm not sure that that's the number that we're all necessarily quoting our patients when we see them. And when they looked at the odds ratios, they found that the only thing that decreased the odds ratio of pain was a TEP repair, so compared to an open repair as being the baseline. Some older data that we have, which looks at systematic reviews and meta-analyses of the randomized control trials, show us that as we're looking at, so this is looking at acute pain, so this is visual analog scale at 12 hours, up to 24, up to 48, and up to 72. These are randomized studies which looked at open versus TAP repair. And at most of these different time points, there was lower pain, acute pain rates in TAP compared with open repair. And then again, looking at a systematic review and meta-analysis, again, we have outcome measures which favor TAP from the standpoint of chronic pain rates compared with open hernias. So now we come to the harder portion, which is looking at robotic inguinal hernia repair, and where does that fit into the whole pain spectrum? The data is still coming out, but we have a little bit out there that I think may guide us to some extent. So This study, which looked at, this is just acute pain in PACU, essentially, in the first few hours, and the average pain scores were statistically lower in the robotic inguinal hernia, from a 3.8 to a 2.5. So that's a single center with small numbers, but regardless, it was statistically significant. Now, this is looking at that study that that was just mentioned by Will, and this was one of the largest experiences that's been published so far during their learning curve, and they found that in terms of postoperative complications, postoperative complications within 30 days, that open surgery was increased the risk of postoperative complications. The importance of that is that within their postoperative complications, they had acute pain or swelling, and that made up the largest percentage of, if we look at the postoperative complications, which are relatively low. So on its own, this is not statistically significant in any means, but it's definitely an interesting outcome measure to look at here. So what about open versus lap versus robotic? And so if we look here at pain perceptions of acute pain and activity disruption, so we see here we're looking at robotic versus laparoscopic. Here it's robotic versus open. Reasonable numbers, close to 100 in each group here. And so if we look at the, in terms of pain, the time for the from the hernia repair to taking no pain medication, so the number of days, there was a statistically significant difference between robotic and open inguinal hernia repair, but no difference between the two minimally invasive approaches. So no difference between laparoscopic and robotic. Another way of looking at the same type of question was looking at, again, we have robotic versus laparoscopic here, and we have robotic versus open here, and it's looking at the groin pain scores at 1 week. And we're seeing the same type of thing here. We're seeing that there's a difference between robotic and open, but there's no difference between lap and robotic. So kind of in summary here, the various factors that affect postoperative pain following inguinal hernia repair include patient factors, including pre-op pain as well as acute postoperative pain, surgeon experience, mesh type and fixation, and minimally invasive approach. Now, I guess the next question that comes up is robotic inguinal hernia repair something special? Is it different than a minimally invasive approach? One of the things that definitely are being talked about is in terms of defect closures, so direct hernia defect closures, which I would suggest that most of us do not perform when we're doing it in a TEP or a TAP fashion. And I have no idea why the system hates my videos, but it clearly does. And or maybe it just hates the fact that we're closing the defect, because you do have concerns about whether this is going to increase pain. And it seems that the system keeps like having an attack when I'm taking a stitch there, because maybe it's concerned that I'm actually grabbing one of the superficial nerves from the anterior approach, which is definitely what David Chen would say. We don't have any data yet, but this is a somewhat interesting study that's been published, which looks at direct hernia defect closures. This is not with robotic TAP, this is just with laparoscopic TAP. Even though this says RTAP, what they just mean is defect closure. What they found was that they had lower acute pain scores at both 1 day and 1 week in the group where they closed defects. This is a little confusing to me. Looking into the study a little bit more, they chose to put smaller pieces of mesh and do less dissection in the groups where they closed the defect. A little confusing, and I'm not sure that this is where I think we should be going. I don't think we should be putting smaller pieces of mesh or doing less dissection by any means, but definitely something just to keep in mind as we go forward to see if there is a role for less pain associated with these robotic hernia repairs. And finally, of course, the one thing we're not talking about is there less pain for the surgeon associated with some of the complex hernias if you're doing it in a robotic fashion, and what is maybe that's where the sunk cost needs to go. Thank you.
Thank you.